Welcome everyone. You just have heard from the early introduction to me that I have quite a few communities, sanghas, all over the country as well as overseas. I travel almost twice each month to somewhere to teach, to express the timeless wisdom of Buddha and also my own understanding of Buddhism and also human life. I have the fortune to meet with people from different walks of life, young, old, beginners, as well as also well-seasoned meditators. I must say that many people who come to the meditation retreats and teachings are not particularly motivated by religious reasons. They're not coming to those events to find out notions of divinity, God, redemption. I'm sure there are a few individuals who wanted to explore more those religious notions. The one of the main motives, main reasons for people coming to those events is that they wanted to find wisdom or technique or answer how to deal with human suffering. Because everybody suffers sometime in their life. And this is quite wonderful in many sense, because Buddha said that his entire teaching is all about revealing ways to deal with the human suffering. Periodically we may hear this kind of idea that we can bring about the end of suffering. As a matter of fact, you come across many spiritual slogans, spiritual phrases that indicate this state, the end of suffering. This can be a little bit misleading, because the idea of bring about end of suffering can be totally wishful thinking. It may not be possible at all. Not only that, there's a sense of a cowardliness, lack of courage in our desire to completely eradicate the suffering. There's a reason why there's a suffering in this world and also in your world as well, in your human incarnation. This human incarnation comes along with lots of pain, lots of suffering. I went to a Buddhist monastery for many years, and the Buddhism teaches that life begins with pain. Of course, this may sound very pessimistic, sound very sometimes quite negative, or even depressing attitude. But the truth is that life begins with pain. There's nothing we can do about it. We should not be sad. We should not be depressed. By finding this universal reality that life begins with pain. So the idea of eradicating suffering is not really very spiritual, it's not very wise. And then you may wonder, if there's no way to eradicate the suffering, then why are we meditating? What then Buddhism is all about? Or you may wonder, what are you going to talk about? So my understanding is that it's not so much that we should actively seek ways of eradicating suffering, but learning how to more deal with the suffering, to find a spiritual meaning in the suffering. So I don't talk so much about eradicating suffering, but more to lessen, to reduce the amount of suffering, which is more possible, more practical as well. Hypothetically, imagine that you are able to get rid of suffering because you learned a magic formula, or somebody gave a magic pill. Imagine that somebody walks in front of you, or imagine that you stamp over a bottle, you open it, and maybe you're going to meet with the genie, and perhaps the genie will give you this special gift, and that can be the total eradication of suffering. But if we don't know how to suffer, then we won't be human. Imagine that you can love happily rest of your life. And imagine that you're having a bliss each and every moment from this moment on. And then the problem is that you will never be able to learn what it means to be compassionate. You do not know how to be human. You may love it as a human, but towards the end of life, then you may realize that you didn't live as a human being. So through opening our heart to the suffering, we began to learn how to be a human, how to be an authentic human being. And so we can learn how to be compassionate, to be courageous. If you don't know how to feel the flavor of suffering, then you would never know how to experience compassion. The compassion is your ability to taste the human sorrow. But if you don't know how to taste your own sorrow, how would you know manifest the sorrow of the others. So suffering, in that sense, can be a great spiritual teaching. There's so much we can learn from suffering. We can learn how to be courageous. There's no reason to be courageous if we don't have suffering at all. Buddha talked about this exalted qualities. He talked about sometimes seven of them. The exalted qualities are the qualities of Buddhas, but also when you look carefully, they're not really qualities of Buddhas as some kind of enlightened being or superhuman being, but they are qualities of an authentic human being. So in the end, we will realize that to be spiritual is all about to become an authentic human being. To be authentic human being is to not be afraid of being a human and to go through all the different stages of human life. And there's a pain and there's a joy as well. In Buddhism, there's this archetype, the Bodhisattva's archetype. Buddha said that the only way that you can be enlightened is by being a Bodhisattva. The truth that we can all be Bodhisattvas. There's even a Bodhisattva's ordination. You can take Bodhisattva's vow. And there are many precepts in the vows regarding the Bodhisattva's vow. The Bodhisattva's vow, the most essential Bodhisattva's vow is not to run away from the world. That means not to run from the difficulties, the challenges, such as the suffering of this human life, but to embrace all the pain and sorrow that life presents. They use this metaphor, which is the lotus blossoming in the mud. And here the lotus symbolizes the heart of Bodhisattva, which is called Bodhicitta, the awakened heart. We can translate Bodhicitta as awakened heart or awakened mind. But that lotus, the lotus of awakened heart or the awakened mind, blossoms in the mud. Here, mud symbolizes the human life, which is very muddy sometimes. Human life is extremely muddy, not so clean, and not so sometimes easy. It's full of a lot of pain, difficulties. So what I'm trying to say is Buddhism is not about completely eradicating suffering. It's more taking suffering as a teaching, spiritual teaching, and making best out of it. And Buddhism also teaches this way to freedom, which is not about being lost in suffering, not to be completely stuck in suffering. So you can see the subtle difference between embracing the human suffering and being lost in human suffering. So Buddhism never tells us run away from suffering or to reject suffering. It simply teaches not to be lost in the suffering. So that means suffering is a natural rhythm of life. There's nothing wrong with the suffering. How do we get lost in suffering? We get lost in suffering by, as the Buddha stated, getting what we don't want and not getting what we want. Can I have a napkin? That's even better. And this sound appears very familiar to everybody. Getting what we don't want, not getting what we want. Of course, we all have lots of wantings and not wantings. You can write down a whole list of not wanting and wantings. It would be interesting if somebody goes around and hand out a piece of paper to everybody with a pen and ask everybody to write down a list of wantings and not wantings. And we can come back and compare each other's notes. I'm sure we have similar wantings. We all want to be healthy. We all want to be happy. And perhaps many of us want to have an early retirement. Or perhaps we all want to go to Hawaii because the weather is getting quite cold. And then we have perhaps a list of not wanting that is quite universal. And none of us want to get sick. None of us wanted to declare bankruptcy. And then we are going to find very mysterious, quite a strange list of wantings and not wantings. Somebody's wanting can be somebody else's not wanting. And it can go other way around. Someone else's not wanting is somebody's wanting. Somebody really wants to get married right now. And somebody really doesn't want to get married. And maybe thinking about going to Burma or Thailand or Nepal to become monk or nun. Because somebody is totally fed up with marriage or fed up with a relationship. And somebody is completely taking refuge in marriage and thinking that marriage or relationship is going to bring all earthly joy and happiness. So there's nothing wrong with having just the wantings and not wantings. We all want something, there's nothing wrong with that. We don't have to reject our desires, our longings, our aspirations. And some of our wantings are quite noble, quite holy too. We want a world peace, nothing wrong with that. We want perhaps justice, equality, harmony on this planet. That's beautiful desire. And perhaps we want a nice place to live, a comfortable clothes to wear, and a healthy food to eat, and love and friendship. There's nothing wrong with those wantings. And we can have many lists of not wantings. We don't want war, we don't want illness, we don't want our children to get sick. There's nothing wrong with that. Perhaps none of us want to get sick, there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem begins when we are completely lost, totally lost in those desires, wanting this and not wanting that. And then and our desires become obsession. And then we sometimes feel that unless I get this, I'm not going to be happy. And sometimes this whole desire, wanting, not wanting, becomes a chain in our consciousness. It becomes like almost spell that we don't know how to break. It frees our heart, it binds our mind, and then we don't know how to just surrender and love, enjoy this magic called human life. And then we don't know how to experience spontaneity, joy, love, bliss. Because we feel that there is now spill in our consciousness. We feel that we are bound. So then there is the chain of wanting and not wanting, the chain of all the desires, obsessions. So our mind is no longer free. The way we can break that chain or that spell in our consciousness is and through surrendering to life. And realizing that life is much more powerful than our will. So you might like to think that life is this powerful river, this uncontrollable river, flowing on its own. And then you are swimming in that river. We are all swimming in that river because we are born in that river. And perhaps you are not able to swim against the river. The more you try to swim against that river, perhaps the more you suffer. But The only thing you might be able to do is swim along the natural flow of the river, and periodically you may notice that, and you're heading towards a big boulder. And so you can perhaps change. You can paddle a little bit, you can move your hands, you can kick your legs so you're able to maneuver around the boulder so you'll be safe. This is all you can do when you are swimming in this marshy river of life. But you may not be able to completely turn around and swim against the natural flow of that river. So the hardest lesson to learn is this thing called the surrender. I think that's the hardest thing to learn for a human being. I went to monastery, learned many Buddhist teachings, and sometimes we had to memorize and so many pages of text. It wasn't that difficult. Sometimes we had to sit in cross-legged posture for hours. That wasn't very difficult. It's very easy to learn how to be disciplined. It's very easy to memorize the scriptures. It's very easy to be ascetic if you want to be. It's not so difficult. But the hardest thing for me to learn is surrender. So surrender is the heart of all spiritual teachings. And here I'm not speaking about surrendering to some kind of omnipresent being like God. I'm speaking about surrendering to life itself. And surrendering is maybe what enlightenment is, if there's such thing. Surrendering is nirvana, if there's such thing. Actually, we can find true happiness only through knowing how to surrender. Until that, there's no true happiness, there's no true freedom. There's only temporary and conditional happiness. But this thing called surrender, it's very difficult to learn, but sometimes we may know how to surrender when we are struck by a very unexpected and difficult situations. I met with many people who felt this surrender that I'm speaking about through great loss. Perhaps they lost their job, or they lost their loved ones, or they discovered that they have a terminal illness, and suddenly they know how to surrender. One time I was teaching in Louisiana, and there was a couple who came to my teachings. Strangely, the husband was from Italy, wife was from Eastern Europe, Estonia. I go to Louisiana once a year, and all this, I had a very small group there, and this couple came to my retreats pretty much every year, and one time the wife left him. And he told me that first he was very sad, and then after a while he felt this great joy, this whole new level of happiness that he never felt. Just like that, sometimes we learn how to surrender through great loss. That does not mean I'm suggesting you to pray for troubles, hardships. Actually, there is a whole tradition in Tibetan Buddhism that you go to monastery and to invite intentionally hardships, and so you can lose all your tendencies, such as your tendencies to take refuge in the comfort and security. And some of the trainings in Buddhism can sometimes break you down and can challenge you. Of course, you don't have to have a terminal illness, nor we don't have to lose a relationship in order to know how to surrender. And sometimes when you meditate, you feel this beautiful surrender. So, you might like to sometimes just sit and ask in this very powerful question. I now suggest everybody to remember this very simple question, but very powerful question. And that is sometimes to sit and ask yourself, what is it that is resisting to this surrender? But first you have to remember that I told you that surrender is a path. Surrender is a shortcut to the enlightenment. And surrender is a shortcut to the freedom. Surrender is a shortcut to the unconditional happiness. That is the truth. Perhaps I would never change my mind about this statement. Sometimes I change my statement and I can be quite good at contradicting myself. But on this, I mean never change my statement. Surrender is the shortcut to the nirvana. Surrender is the path to the freedom, path to the unconditional happiness. So remember that again and again, and then remember to ask this question, what is it that is resisting in order to surrender? And just keep asking that question sometimes, wholeheartedly. And as you keep asking this question, you'll lose your fear, you'll lose your desires, your obsessions. You'll lose naturally whole layers of resistance. In the end, maybe you'll find this very subtle barricade. And subtle resistance. Maybe you can call it the ego. Maybe that's what the ego is. And perhaps finally you'll know how to surrender it. And once you know how to surrender all your fear, all your hope to life itself, and then you may experience this very old saying in the Buddhist tradition. Human body with the Buddha mind. Then your body is of course the human body, but your mind is no longer human mind. Your mind becomes the Buddha mind. So tonight, I didn't teach so much. I feel more like that we all come here together to learn how to surrender. And once you know how to do it, then you can go around and tell everybody, I know Buddhism now. Or you can even say, I know everything about the Buddhism. You can say, I know Buddhism as Buddha knows. This won't be very logical, perhaps, if you tell that some of those well-educated Buddhists, they may not agree with you, then they would ask you, do you know four this and five this? And perhaps you don't know how to recite those categories, those Buddhist categories. But the truth that you know what Buddhism is finally. And perhaps then you know what Hinduism is. And then you'll know how what Sufism is too. The surrender can just happen right away. It can happen in this very moment, or it can happen even next moment. Thank you everyone's receptivity. Thank you for being here tonight. We'll end this evening with a dedication prayer and also a mantra. And last time when I came here, if I'm correct, James told me I can sing a mantra. And we'll sing a mantra after the dedication prayer. Do you have a dedication prayer that you like to lead? Sonam de tamche zipanyo domne nibe danam pamshe shang kirganam che balon tupai. Subim sodi dova dolva ho shang chib sem chorm boche marki banam kikish. Gibanyam ba me ba don kuni gundam pera ho. Now I would like to invite all of you to chant the mantra, Pranjana Paramita mantra. Om Gate Ngate, Para Ngate, Para Sam Ngate, Bodhi Svaha. Once again, thank you everybody. It's nice to be back here. James Barris is one of my best friends. We got to know each other maybe 4 or 5 years ago, could be even longer than that. Our friendship has been blossoming over the years. He's a wonderful human being, great Dharma teacher, a wonderful person to know and to become friend with. And you're all lucky to have this community here and to have him as a guide, as a Dharma teacher. I feel very much honored and to be here tonight and to express my understanding of the Dharma. I offer my prayers to all of you. May you have many transformations. May you have good health, longevity, and last wish is a happy holiday. The Christmas is pretty much around the corner. And thank you for your presence.